have an army. We have a Hulk.
And welcome to We Have a Hulk Pod, episode 53, now part of the DWW Network. I'm Nicola.
And I'm Chris.
And today's show, we're going to be talking about...
So we got some news. We got the new Justice League trailer to talk about. So that's going to be fun. We got Power Rangers.
Woo!
Is our movie. Yes. Flash musical episode.
Yeah.
We're going to be joined by Violet Bean, a.k.a. Jesse Quick from The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a book to review this time instead of a comic book, which is interesting, called Supernova's Jubilee.
Ooh. Okay, so on to the news.
On to the news.
So, as you said, we've finally got a Justice League trailer.
Yes.
Yeah.
We literally just watched it. We recorded our reaction,
mm-hmm.
and so we're going to do our breakdown in a bit. But yeah, we can talk about that.
So yeah, we can. So all week they've been teasing us. Well, a couple of days. They've been teasing us with like a couple of character posters and character trailers. And now finally we've got the whole thing after waiting from that sizzle reel for so long. So what did you think of it then, Chris?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It just looks a lot of fun. Looks like a lot of fast pace from the trailer. Aquaman looks really cool.
Yes. Which is completely different to what you've been saying previously,
yeah,
right?
definitely. I had no idea that this would happen.
No idea.
But yeah, no, I really like that guy. What's his name?
Jason Momoa.
He's cool. So yeah, I'm into it. I think it'll be good.
And he looks pretty badass as well.
Yeah.
I love that bit where he's just like riding on top of the Batmobile.
Yeah. It does seem like there's not a whole lot of underwater stuff. So it's kind of like, what's going to happen there? I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, maybe they'll bring it in.
Yeah. I loved it so much. I love The Flash. I think him and Aquaman might be my favourites, I think. Cyborg looked pretty amazing.
Yeah, Cyborg looks good.
Yeah, and the whole motherboard thing, that was kind of cool. I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with that.
Cool.
Yeah. So we also had quite a lot of other new posters and things. So we've had two new Spider-Man Homecoming posters. We've got one Spidey on top of the Avengers Tower, and then we've got him just kind of lying down with like a yellow jacket on. So I'm not sure where the yellow jacket comes from, but it looks amazing.
Okay, cool.
What did you think of the posters?
Yeah, Spider-Man posters.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Doesn't look anything particularly new or exciting to me. It just looks...
Spider-Man.
Okay.
So we also got some more Spidey news. So following last week, they announced that they're going to do a Venom like spin-off. Sony Pictures have now announced they're going to do a Black Cat Silver Sable film. Mm. So that's kind of interesting. But it's not going to be in the MCU.
I guess because it's Sony, I guess they can't really bring in all those characters necessarily.
No, that's true.
Unless Marvel Studios goes along with it, right?
Mm.
So there's obviously a lot of kind of back and forth there trying to negotiate things. Yeah, I was really interested in the Venom one.
Yeah.
I don't know these characters, so it's less interesting to me, but I'm sure it'll be good.
Okay.
You know? Who knows?
So THR reports that the studio has hired Thor Ragnarok writer Chris Yost? To write the script. So that's pretty cool, because Thor Ragnarok looks amazing, so it might be quite interesting. But we're not sure whether it's going to be the same Spider-Man, so Tom Holland, because I don't know whether he's going to feature. So I don't know what I think about this. I mean, it's going to be cool to get some female sort of leads in the whole Spider-Man universe.
I mean, they're sharing writers, obviously. And
true,
stuff, so, so they're definitely working together a bit better than they used to. So, yes.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. We also had some more Cable news from Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
So, an interesting concept art leaked on Reddit this week. So, as Brad Pitt as Cable.
Yeah, I kind of buy it. I think he looks quite good as... Because he's got that kind of rugged look.
Yeah.
Like, from pictures of Fury and stuff like that. He's got... That is kind of the look, I imagine. Yeah, I think that could really work.
And plus, he's quite funny as well. I think him and Ryan Reynolds could kind of work off each other quite a lot.
I think they could, but... Could
bounce.
What would that happen?
Mm.
It does seem like kind of two different leagues. I don't know.
I suppose so.
I mean, he's never done...
comic bookness.
Comic book stuff before,
See, I think it would be amazing, to be honest.
Yeah, it would be good.
It would be good. But apparently, we still have Michael Shannon as the lead.
Yeah, he's cool too.
Front runner.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but he's been in I mean, most recently he's been in, you know, Man of Steel as General Zod. So to go from DC General Zod to then being Cable in Marvel, I'm not sure when I think of that. No.
Yeah.
And we've also got, obviously, the guy from Stranger Things, the police guy.
Yes.
He's still in the running for it. So, but, I mean, we had the news that apparently the news is going to break about the casting super soon.
Yeah.
But we still haven't heard anything. So,
like, they were teasing it last week for this week, weren't
they? Yeah. It's like, oh, come on. I just want to know. So we've also had some amazing sort of behind the scenes looks at some of the big Marvel films coming up. So first of all, we've had some behind the scenes from Avengers Infinity War. So they're filming in Edinburgh at the minute, and some of the set pictures look pretty funny, don't they?
Yeah, I really like the one of, was it Scarlet Witch?
Yeah.
It's like a video. She's standing there and then suddenly, boom, she disappears behind an alley. She gets pulled by like Sean wires, obviously.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
So there's got some of the set pictures are like, I think there's a chip shop with some like fake news on the telly and stuff.
Yeah.
Also
railway or something.
Yeah, I think they've sort of put a massive green screen on the train station.
Yeah.
And they had like a set video of the Vision being pulled on wires, the same thing, like falling. It just looks really weird without sort of the actual scene, doesn't it? It just looks like someone's randomly being
just
dropped.
Floating in the air. Yeah. And it's like, well, what the hell are you doing with that scene?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like he's properly posing or anything. But yeah, you see a shot of him on the ground and then being pulled up.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes a little more sense.
Yeah. Also, obviously, the Scarlet Witch scene just looks really random. It just looks like someone's being tugged, doesn't it? But yeah, they've put like fake cobbles down, like padded cobbles.
Yeah.
Which kind of, yeah, I just think that's quite funny.
I guess it makes sense. Like, yeah. I guess it's less touch up in like post if you can get a sort of similar look beforehand. So yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I'm just really excited because, I mean, Edinburgh, that's going to be amazing on screen, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll be good.
We've also had some videos and stills from Black Panther.
Right.
So they're filming in South Korea at the moment.
Yes.
And this lucky person, I think, they were filming right outside their like flat.
Yeah.
And he managed to film like the whole entire like car scene.
Mm.
So Black Panther's on top of this car, like really nice sports car, and he's just like zooming down the road, and it just looks amazing.
Yeah, they got their like pickup with the crane on it or
whatever. Yeah.
I'm not sure that was actually what happened.
I can't wait for this film. So it just looks amazing. And I just love the costume.
I think for me it's a little bit too much.
Oh.
I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We've got the first production image from the X-Men Gifted TV series. So that's pretty cool. So it's Amy Acker. So basically it's a picture of Bryan Singer next to a camera. And on the camera you can see Amy Acker.
Right.
So, they are starting to shoot.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Bryan Singer's the X-Men guy, right?
Yes.
So it's going to be very X-Men.
Well, maybe.
I think that's probably implied. So it's not something a little bit different. It's going to be
quite... like Legion.
Right. It's going to be more mainstream, I think.
But then again, I think he's probably just working with the Burn Notice guy.
Right. Okay.
So I still think it might be a bit sort of spy-esque, rebel... Maybe. Alliance thing. But yeah, we're excited about that. And the last bit of news. So we had a new Alien Covenant poster, which looks horrifying.
It does. What was the quote that went with the tweet? It was like, the path to paradise begins in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely looks like something out of Dante's Inferno. You know, it just looks like all the engineers and the
aliens.
Yeah, the aliens, the xenomorphs, kind of intertwined. And yeah, I'm starting to really think about what's going on there. I mean, obviously, the engineers are sort of creating everything, aren't they? They're setting this system, this whole thing up. So they're obviously genetic engineers.
Yeah.
And why are they creating the
aliens? Yeah.
Like, is it like they're going to fight them?
Well,
do they want to destroy them? Because they seem kind of angry.
Yeah. What I gathered from... Because we watched Prometheus again lately.
Yeah.
And what I gathered was they were using the like xenomorphs to wipe out other races. I think they were like biological weapons sort of thing.
That's not the impression I got. I got the impression they were going to planets, seeding them, and trying to create something specific through evolution. You know, so starting with their DNA, breaking it down, and then starting again on that planet. And then they were inviting that planet to come back at a certain point in their future when they reached maturity.
Right.
And if they weren't right, they would kill you and come back and start again. They seemed so angry. That big guy is strange because they just went to chat to him and he was like, boom, started ripping people's heads off and stuff. So, yeah, I do get the impression they're kind of a warrior race or something. Mm. And they want to create like angry aliens in order to kill them, maybe.
I don't know. It's all a bit weird, really, isn't it?
How do the predators fit in?
That's a good point.
Do they eventually become predators?
Oh, dear.
Do the engineers become predators? I don't know. I think there's so many questions left unanswered. It's like, just give us a little bit, you know, help us out.
Just helps out a little bit. Yeah. So, yeah, lots of interesting sort of videos. If you want to check those out, if you check out Empire Online, you can watch the behind the scenes videos. They're worth a watch. Avengers and Black Panther. So,
short videos, but worth a watch.
Yeah. So, on to the TV.
Woo!
So, last week we had the Flash and Supergirl second crossover. So, we had the musical episode that a lot of people weren't looking forward to. But it happened.
It did happen.
Yep. So, Dermot Downs directed the episode with a story by Greg Berlanti and Andrew Kreisberg. And in this episode, we had Barry, Supergirl, Cisco, Wynn, Martin Stein, Joe West, and John Barrowman. So, storyline was...
So it was like all the cast from Glee game and did like an episode.
Yeah.
But not with as high a production value as Glee.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they tried, bless them. So, yeah, the guy from Glee came.
He was the music meister.
Yeah, so he's like a bad guy. Well, he was a prisoner, right?
Yeah.
That was the story. Yeah. And then he came and he'd like knocked him out and put him in a coma and started stealing their powers.
Yeah.
But then in the end, it was like, I just came here to help you or something. And then he walked out through a portal or something.
Mm.
It was a bit strange, but it was kind of funny. So.
Right. Okay, so we had 5 songs in total. I'm a little disappointed that not all of the kind of cast took part in it.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I would have preferred less of them.
Okay.
So.
I would have liked to see them try, maybe. It would be kind of interesting. So we had Supergirl singing Moon River, which is the cover of the 1961 song, which won the Oscar for the Best Original Song as part of Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah, I mean, I knew this one. Yeah. So that helps. I think they should have just gone the ones that people would know, really.
Okay.
And she was good. She
was
sing.
Amazing. So. Yeah.
And I liked that she was on her own and it was quite just nicely. It wasn't overdone.
Yeah. You
know? So it was fine.
It was fine.
It started off okay.
Okay. So Melissa has also been in Glee.
Yes.
But it seems like, I mean, you watched Glee, didn't you? But
I watched
what series
the first
did you...
season or two, yeah. Okay. I really liked it at the start. I thought it was quite good. But I think it just got a bit too mainstream. I think it was trying to say something at the start. But then after a while, it just became kind of boring and normal.
Okay. So I think she appeared in, I think, possibly series 3 or 4.
So what did you think of this one then?
I actually really loved it. Okay. She was really, really good. And
yeah.
I just loved the whole setting of the musical when they went inside sort of the dream or coma or wherever they were. I think it looked really classy. It was like, I don't know, was it 1920s sort of inspired? So they had kind of gangsters and it was kind of based on Guys and Dolls.
There was definitely, some of that in there.
Yeah, but it reminded me of... West Side Story a lot. Right. So I really like that kind of time and film and stuff. So for me, I just really enjoyed the setting and stuff.
Sure.
So number 2, we had Put a Little Love in Your Heart. Now, for me, this was my favourite part of the episode.
Right.
So this was the one, it involved Music Meister, Kara, Barry, John Barrowman, Cisco and Wynn. And it was the most produced one in terms of like dancing. And it actually, this was the only one that actually involved Music Meister. He actually sang in it.
Right. There was someone playing on the piano and he like started the song, didn't he? And everyone was dancing around and it was really cringeworthy.
No!
Sorry, that's my thoughts on it. I didn't enjoy it. I just thought it was too much. It didn't feel well produced to me. It felt like they tried, but it did not succeed.
Okay. Anyway, so this was a cover of the 1969 song by Jackie DeShannon.
Right.
Choreography was from Glee's Zach Woodley.
Okay.
And I just love this so much. I loved Cisco and Wynn. I think they need like a musical spin-off.
Oh, God.
Do you not think they were amazing though?
Cisco, no.
Really?
I don't even know who Wynn is. Who's Wynn?
The guy who was on the piano.
Okay. He was all right. He could sing, couldn't he? Yeah. But yeah, no. I would have preferred they... Honestly, I liked the first one because I think it was just Melissa singing. And they kind of downplayed it a bit and it was just quite nice.
Right.
But on this one, there was too much going on. Too many people trying to get involved and none of them could really sing or dance. So it was kind of... No, I didn't enjoy it. Oh, didn't enjoy it, sorry.
Get out. So then we went on to Super Friends. Yeah. So this... so this was Barry and Cara's sort of duet. I thought it was a little bit cheesy.
It was very cheesy.
It was very cheesy, but it was funny and it was quite charming. And they did like a little tap dance routine, which is quite nice.
Yeah, I like it when they have a bit of fun with it and they take the piss out of themselves a bit. So that aspect of it was okay.
Mm.
But yeah, I didn't like the song. And again, I didn't think the dancing was very good. I just thought, no.
Okay. Sorry. Anyway, so this was one of the two original songs in the episode. And the number was written by the CW star Rachel Bloom, who stars in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which apparently is very good. So I've got to try and check that one out. But I think it had quite a nice little sort of references to things. It had a funny sort of flashpoint joke in there. I quite liked it. And yeah.
I didn't see that it was overly funny, sorry.
Moving on to More I Cannot Wish You. So this song is originally from the 1950s musical Guys and Dolls. This was later adapted into a movie starring Marlon Brando and Gene Kelly, which we still need to watch. I'm surprised we haven't seen this.
Yeah.
Because we're quite big musical fans.
I like musicals, yeah. Sure. Why not?
So, so apparently Guys and Dolls was cited as one of the biggest inspirations for duet. So we did have the whole two rival gangs and their sort of person fell in love. And
yeah, there was sort of loosely crowbarred in there, wasn't it?
Yeah. And this sort of featured Victor Garber, Jesse L. Martin and John Barrowman. Yes. So for me, this was possibly the weakest song.
It was awful. Sorry. I was just cringeworthy. I couldn't handle it. And I don't like the whole drama thing. I don't know why they bother with it. I feel like they're not very good at the drama, so they should just cut it out. But yes, I thought the older fellow couldn't really sing and the song wasn't... I didn't like it, sorry.
Okay, I thought Jesse L. Martin was actually really good. He stars in Rent. I think that's a musical. So yeah. I think he really could sing, actually. I would have liked a bit more of him in this episode. I think that would have been good. So
yeah, certainly think some of them could sing and stuff, but I just didn't buy the songs that they were doing. And it just didn't really fit for me. And it was...
Moving on.
Moving on.
So last one, I think, is possibly everybody's favourite from this episode. So we had Running Home to You. So yes. Barry came back. He sang this to Iris and then he proposed and it was all very romantic and very sweet. So, yeah, what did you think of this one?
I probably like this one the best.
Yeah.
I think apparently it was written by La La Land duo, Benj Pasek and Justin Paul.
Mm-hmm.
It did feel more produced and stuff than the others. Yeah. Since the guy can actually clearly sing, the drama was okay because it worked. Like, do you know what I mean? It was done well, so it worked. But yeah, again, I don't really like the drama and this stuff, so...
We know.
Yeah, but I think that was the best one. It was well produced and it sounded good.
I really liked it, but I thought it was a bit odd because I think if you started singing to me, I'd be a bit like, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was amazing. Grant Gustin, I think. Also in Glee. I think he was like the head of the rival sort of singers.
Yeah, I think he was part of the Warblers. But he obviously took over from the guy that played the bad guy in this once he'd quit or something. I don't remember what happened, but yeah, something like that.
Right, okay. But yeah, this is really nice. And they managed to kind of fit in the Flash theme, like background of the music, which was quite funny. But yeah, one of my favourites, I think, and I think everybody loved it, so... Yeah. So overall, what were your thoughts about this episode? I think we've probably garnered you didn't really enjoy it all that much.
I didn't enjoy it. I felt mostly it was cringeworthy. And, you know, I mean, the story was kind of a throwaway one as well, wasn't it? And not for me, sorry.
But you like Glee. You should have liked this.
At the start, at least, it was better produced and it had good like choreography and stuff. I don't think it's had much of that. So just my opinion, guys. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, okay.
For me, I think having Darren Criss from Glee in it, I think they really sort of missed something because he was only in one song.
Mm.
And I feel like he should have been in more of it, right? Because he's actually a really good singer.
But I feel like, if they'd actually got like some of the... If they were going to go all in, they should have just gone all in and got like directors from Glee and stuff and actually properly done it.
Right.
Like a musical thing, you know? It just felt like an episode with a bit of singing and dancing and it wasn't... it didn't really convince me.
Right, so. Okay. For me, I loved the time period that it was set in. I loved the props. And I loved all the dancing and the costumes. I loved Cisco and I loved Win. I would love to see those two in like a little musical crossover. That'd be amazing. I thought the guy who plays Joe West, he was really, really good. And I actually really enjoyed this episode. But I didn't think there was enough singing in it. Yeah. There was only 5 songs and I wanted more. Okay. They should have done like a whole musical, like a proper musical.
I think every character should have had their own like song.
No, that would just be quite interesting. Own. Yeah, but I enjoyed this actually. So for me, a big 2 thumbs up. So we also finally finished Iron Fist. So just quickly going over it, what were your thoughts on the whole series?
I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. It's possibly one of my favourites. Certainly up there.
Okay.
Certainly better than Luke Cage. Anyway, yes, it's certainly definitely. At least third. Possibly better than Jessica Jones, although I preferred the bad guy in Jessica Jones. Kilgrave was amazing, but I might put it higher than Jessica Jones. I don't think I can put it higher than Daredevil yet.
No.
I think it could take my top spot at some point.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Okay. I did. It had problems, okay?
Yeah.
It did have problems. I mean, Danny Rand, I liked him as an actor, but I don't think he could like do any fighting, really. I don't think he was great at the choreography and stuff, I think.
I actually read an article that he said some of them, because the filming, they only had a certain amount of time. He actually learned his choreography about 15 minutes before they did the scene.
Well, that's just shit. They should have planned that better.
Yeah.
They should have had them, they should have had them, like, learning
beforehand. Daredevil moves, because that was fantastic. Why didn't they just get the same choreographer as Daredevil, right?
But, I mean, you know, it takes time to learn. They should have been learning it months in advance, shouldn't they? But I guess they don't have the budget for that, I don't know. Fine. but, yeah, overall, I really loved it. Loved Colleen Wing. I loved everything. I think towards the end, the hand got a little bit nerfed for me, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I liked at the start how, and Gao as well, because I liked... how Madame Gao was like this kind of mysterious figure who kind of almost kind of disappeared into the shadows. And then there were those really cool shots where he went to kind of challenge them, didn't he? And
that was like really good.
The spider lady and everything. I thought that was great, all mysterious and mystical. And then they just kind of turned them into this kind of modern day company. And it's like, oh, there's this guy that's trying to kids and stuff. And it's just a bit like, oh, okay. And they they have computers, great. And then they kind of kidnapped Madame Gao and now she's just some human. She's just an old lady human. And it's like, I feel like she should have escaped. She should have turned into a crane and escaped or something.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would have been amazing.
But, yeah, overall, I really enjoyed it. I really, really loved the series. What do you think?
As you said, it definitely had problems. I enjoyed Danny Rand, the guy who played that. I can't remember his name. The guy from Game of Thrones. Colleen Wing was my favourite.
Yeah.
I thought Rosaria Dawson's character, she just can't catch a break. Why is she in every single series?
Yeah, they need a hero.
Yeah, true. Madame Gao, I thought it was great that you actually saw her use her powers as well. Danny Rand, you know, was challenging people.
Hmm.
And then she started talking to him about his father. And then he went to try and kind of punch her. And she just like, do you think I've never seen Iron Fist before? And kind of threw him. That was kind of cool.
I don't remember that, but that sounds cool.
Yeah, I want to see more of that. I want to find out more of that side of the hand rather than the sort of weird front of this other separate hand.
I like all the mystical stuff. I like that it's not too front and centre, like, because I like that it's still mystical. Right, it has to be kind of in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, they kind of changed it, didn't they? They're starting to split the hand into these different groups and stuff. It kind of waters it down and makes it less interesting. So.
I mean, they kind of turn into, like, SAS people. I mean, it's like, where the ninjas at?
Yeah, exactly.
I also really enjoyed, like, seeing his friend come back from Kunlun. I wanted a little bit more of that. I wanted a lot more of sort of flashbacks about his time there, his training, which I felt like they kind of missed.
They didn't show any of Kunlun, really, did they? They showed the pathway to Kunlun.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of like quite bad. It wasn't a great set, really.
Yeah, so I wanted to see a lot more of that, to be honest.
It would have been nice to get some training montages and things from Kunlun and kind of his lessons, what he learned, what he took away from it.
I think Danny Rand was possibly the most inconsistent character out of the series, like with regards to his power, because it kept like switching on and off, and he was like, yeah, I can't use it anymore.
Yeah, so that was when can odd. You use it?
Yeah.
Like, you have to charge your chi, and you just learned a way to charge it, but now you can't do it anymore.
And then now you've got it shot. And but yeah, that was interesting. I loved Harold Meacham as a baddie. I thought he was kind of cool.
He was a weaker one for me. I liked Ward because he had so much.
Ward was good.
Yeah, Ward was great because he started off as kind of this
douchebag.
He seemed like a really douchebag, like he's going to be the evil guy, you know. But then as it went on, you kind of felt for him a bit more. He became more human. He started to understand his position on things. I really liked Joy. But yeah, Harold was a bit too much for me. I don't know.
But yeah, I felt like it was... I really, really enjoyed it. I'll say that now. But definitely better than Luke Cage. But definitely a couple of problems. And I feel like they missed out on sort of... Because we've got the Defenders coming up. I feel like they should have kind of met at the end. They should have had like a post-credit scene.
Mm.
And they kind of meeting up and teasing the Defenders. And they didn't really do that. And I was
Or for the final fight, they should have kind of brought everyone together or something.
Yeah.
Like Rosario Dawson should have said, like, this is serious. I'm going to go get some friends.
Yeah. I know some people.
Yeah.
Also, I think the ending kind of annoyed me a little bit. So, spoilers... If you haven't seen it, don't listen. The whole cliffhanger that I hate when series end on cliffhanger, because he went back to Kunlun to take Colleen Wing with him to do some training and actually, you know, take up his mantle as Iron Fist. He saw some Han people dead, and then Kunlun had gone.
Yeah, the way was closed, I guess.
I think it's just gone somewhere.
Because I got the impression, I mean, they said that the way only opens every 15 years or something.
Yeah.
And that's why he came back after 15 years. So I don't know if it was just that the way was closed, so it had gone back to its other dimension or whatever. I feel like it's actually sort of dimensional. It only appears in our dimension once every 15 years or something like that.
So yeah, I think definitely lacking in mystical properties, mystical aspects. But yeah, enjoyed it and I would like to see more and very much look forward to the Defenders.
Woo.
So from that, I think for me, one thumbs up.
I'll give it two.
Two?
Enjoyed it. Yeah. It had problems, but most things do, so I can forgive it those.
Yeah. Also, very quickly, it's Amazon Prime pilot season.
Yes.
So if you are a fan of TV and you actually want to kind of see your voice be heard.
Right.
Time to vote. So we've got 5 pilots currently on Amazon. We've seen one of them, Oasis.
Oasis. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, so it stars Richard Madden and it's sort of kind of a set in a different planet and it's all a bit deserty and Mad Max-esque.
Elysium kind of. The Earth is falling apart and we need to go start a colony on another planet, but this is like first stages where they've just sent through the engineers and stuff. They're trying to build up the colony, but things are going wrong. People are walking into like drills and and falling off cliffs and sort of dying mysteriously, and there seems to be, and they've brought in like a priest
instead of an engineer,
right? And there's some mystical things going on that we don't quite understand, which I like the idea of it.
So yeah, definitely check those out and vote for your favorite, because we had The Tick. I think all of them were green-lighted from last year, but we definitely got The Tick coming. We've had a new costume for him and he looks really great.
Cool.
So very much looking forward to that. So yeah, get voting.
Yes.
So we're joined this week by Violet Bean, aka Jessie Quick from The Flash. So as the other interviews, they may be spoilers for the current season. So be warned, but please enjoy.
Enjoy.
Welcome, Violet, to the show, aka Jessie Quick. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm fine, thank you very much. So, first question. When you auditioned for the role, how upfront were they that you'd be playing Jessie Quick?
When I auditioned, I actually used mock sides, and my character's name was Claire.
Oh.
She was very different from Jessie. She was actually sort of a forensic science nerd, and she, like, really looked up to Barry Allen.
Okay.
So, so it was very under wrap. But once they called and said I had booked it, then they told me that I would be playing Jessie Quick, and I went and looked in the comic books, and I realized she was a speedster, so it was very, very on the hush-hush.
A bit sneaky, sneaky. So were you a fan of, like, Arrow or Flash before you got the role?
I had seen an episode of The Flash. I hadn't watched Arrow, but I had seen an episode and I thought it was a pretty cool show.
Awesome. So what was it like when you put the costume on for the first time? Because it's quite iconic, isn't it?
Yeah. It was really awesome. I had only had one fitting beforehand, and it was just, like, what's underneath the costume, so none of the leather was put on yet. So when I first put it on was the day I walked on set with it. So it was really, really cool to finally have that suit happen. I had thought, you know, obviously I didn't know a lot about who the character was going to be in the beginning. So I had thought she was going to start with powers. And then I didn't realize it would take a whole season. So when it finally did happen, I was so excited.
Yeah. So we interviewed Matt Lesher, who played Reverse Flash. And he said, like, it's so tight, though, like the cowl, the thing that goes over your head.
Oh, yeah. Luckily, I just have a little mask that's double-sided taped to my face. But the cowls are like, I mean, those are a whole thing. You have to have someone, like, zip you up in the back. And yeah, they seem pretty crazy.
Yeah, so you got it off quite easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This time.
Yeah, maybe later, yeah.
Right.
So with Wally being trapped in the Speed Force, how do you think it's going to affect Jessie? Because they're finally together. She just can't seem to catch a break, really, at the moment, can she?
I know, right? She, like, moves to this Earth, and then he just bounces. definitely going to, you know, use all of what she can to get him back. She's not going to take no for an answer, and she's going to go out there and take things into her own hands.
Ah, okay, because we did see some stills of you with possibly fighting Savitar, so that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So, talk about on set. I bet it's so much fun with the cast you work with. Do you have any funny stories that you could tell us at all?
I mean, I hang out with Candace and Keenan pretty much every weekend when I'm up there. We go and we do, like, you know, hang out and go to restaurants and watch movies and stuff like that. And last time I was up there, we actually did an escape room.
Oh, wow.
With a couple people from Supergirl and Casey from Riverdale.
Oh,
and
nice.
It was pretty awesome. Not to brag, but we got the fastest record.
Oh, nice.
Fun. Yep.
So I heard you guys sometimes play Exploding Kittens as well.
Oh, Exploding Kittens? Yeah. Carlos brought that to set one day. We usually play, like, Phase 10 or, like, Uno or something like that, but he brought that game, and it was so much fun.
Yeah. Have you played Cards Against Humanity? That's pretty fun, too.
Yeah, we have. Good one.
Yeah. So what can we look forward to in the rest of the series, if you could give us any clues or anything?
I mean, I don't really know exactly what happens, to be totally honest, but we all know that there's the impending doom of the future of Iris dying, so hopefully Barry and Wally and Jessie are able to be fast enough to stop it from happening.
Yeah. So when I've interviewed, like, previous Arrow cast, obviously asked them about Prometheus. They didn't give too much away, but can I ask you, do you know Savitar's identity, or is it super top secret with you guys as well?
I have no idea. I don't even know.
Wow.
I think it's like one of those things that develops as the season goes on. They might have someone in mind that's been in mind all along, but they haven't told us, that's for sure.
Just in case any spoilers leak. So did you know who Zoom was going to be at all?
Who Zoom was going to be?
Yeah.
I didn't know. But when I was in season two, I was the beginning of the character was sort of a slow development. So I wasn't there for a lot of the episodes in between. And so I don't know if maybe some of the actors were told during those episodes, because when I came back, towards the end, like, everyone knew. And I was like, what? Like, I had no idea.
Thanks for telling me, guys.
Right?
So what's it like filming for the visual effects? Because when we talked to Matt Lesher, he said they kind of put a rope around you guys when you run. And, like, with Garage, you have, like, a tennis ball. It sounds quite fun.
Yeah, it's insane what they can do, especially for TV, because what we're acting with is next to nothing. Like, yeah, it could be a tennis ball and a stick, or for the last couple episodes, Gorilla Grodd was actually a guy, but he was just on stilts, and he had
wow.
like, little dots on his on his clothes. But it was not much. Like it's crazy what they're able to take from and then turn it into.
Yeah, definitely. So if you could star in any of the other like CW shows, which would you pick?
I really like Legends of Tomorrow for like the time travel purposes. Arrow's really fun too. I've got some friends over there. I don't know. I'd love to see Jesse on any of the crossovers, really.
Oh, okay. So last one. Are you working on anything else at the moment at all we can look forward to?
Right now, just auditioning and hopefully I think something might be in the works. So just keep an eye on all my social media and hopefully good news is on the way.
Oh, okay. Good luck.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye. So we've been to our local Sydney World to see Power Rangers on Friday.
Yeah!
So excited for this film.
We couldn't wait. We literally couldn't wait.
So this was directed by Dean Israelite, who's previously done Project Almanac, and it stars Thackeray Montgomery as Jason, the Red Ranger. Naomi Scott is Kimberly, Pink Ranger, possibly everyone's favourite. RJ Seiler as Billy, the Blue Ranger. Ludie Lin as Zach, the Black Ranger. Becky G. Trini as the Yellow Ranger. Elizabeth Banks as Rita Repulsa. Bryan Cranston as Zordon. And Bill Hader as Alpha 5.
Yes.
So, storyline.
High school outcasts stumble upon an old alien ship where they acquire superpowers and are dubbed the Power Rangers. Learning that an old enemy of the previous generation has returned to exact vengeance, the group must harness their powers and use them to work together and save the world.
So, initial thoughts? What did you think of this film then, Chris, coming out?
I really enjoyed it. Yay! I really enjoyed it. It's probably not going to win the awards, let's be honest. I mean, the Power Rangers. Yeah. There were definitely a lot of sort of fan service for people that watched the original. There are a few moments where they like kind of jumped into the air and did like a spin and then landed like in Power Rangers pose on the ground. I just kind of enjoyed that. It was nice having that added in. There was a couple of moments where it was just shoehorned in. It was like when they came out with their Zords and they were just playing the Go-Go Power Rangers music.
Yeah, I love that.
I did enjoy it. I was smiling the whole time, but I was thinking, that's a bit too much, guys.
Maybe some people won't enjoy this.
There are definitely people that won't enjoy that. I really enjoyed it. Loved all the characters. Yeah. I liked that there was quite a range of different, it was almost like a Breakfast Club type thing.
It wasn't it?
Because they were all in detention and they were all the different types of kids and they ended up getting together and kind of forming a friendship or a bond over their thing. I don't understand why Billy was out looking for this thing.
Right, yeah.
Because he was out there looking for something, wasn't he?
Well, because his dad worked there, and I think him and his dad went like treasure hunting with Big.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so his dad was looking for something, and Billy kind of
carried on with it. Yeah.
And he was called Cranston as well, Billy Cranston.
I know. I noticed that. I was like, oh, I see what you did there.
I did like Bryan Cranston. Yeah, it was cool. I liked how they brought because we kind of heard some things before about the Red Ranger and the Green Ranger of a previous generation coming back, which was kind of interesting. So it was interesting how they brought kind of the history of Power Rangers into it, I guess.
Yeah,
I just really enjoyed it. It was great. It was some really funny moments. Great references. Yes. What did you think?
I really loved it too. I was sitting there the whole way through the film, like just smiling and like, oh. Yeah. I'm like, my younger self really appreciates this right now.
My older self does too.
Because I mean, like Pokemon, Power Rangers, it's all coming back at the moment. And I'm just like in a little bubble of joy at the moment. Yeah. Like, yay. So real nostalgia. Yeah. But they did kind of bring it into modern times, I thought. They really improved upon the characters. They actually had some story.
Yeah.
I loved Billy, who was my favourite ever.
Yeah.
And I just thought the action was really good. But it kind of took a while to get to the action, in a way. I wanted more. That. Oh, really? I wanted more Power Rangers-ness, though.
No, I really liked that they developed this story and kind of told you what was going on with the Power Rangers and everything.
True.
And I feel like there wasn't a lot of action, but it was the right amount for me.
It wasn't like Transformers.
Right,
style.
Exactly. That was something I was going to bring up. Yeah, because Transformers, they just go into the action and then you kind of think, this is just going on for ages and nothing's really happening.
And I can't tell what's happening because it's all going so fast.
Yeah, it's just kind of ridiculous, but I thoroughly enjoyed that. And I liked the action because it was it was succinct and it made its point, and then they got over it, you know, so that was cool.
Okay, so from here on out, probably spoilers, so we highly recommend you going to see the film. Once you have, come back and take a listen. Yeah. But if not, just skip along. We've got the timestamps up, so just come back.
Yeah.
All right. So, performances.
Performances were great.
Yeah.
I thought everyone was really good. My favourite was probably Billy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed his character. I really liked how he kind of brought everyone together, really.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
And he was really sweet and funny. And
yeah.
I loved how he was... Jason went to hug him and he was like... Are you done? I love that. That was really good.
Was great.
I loved how you brought in all the like sort of references as well, because he was like, are we superheroes now? Are we more like Iron Man or are we more like Spider-Man?
Yeah. I love it. Love it.
It was so good. Great. I loved how sort of self-referencing it was as well. And like, yeah, it was just really good. Jason as Red Ranger, that's such an iconic sort of role, isn't it? So what did you think of the leader?
I think it was probably the right choice. You know, he was kind of the more average one, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, he was kind of a football player and stuff, wasn't he? So
yeah,
I guess
he's
more of a...
kind of lost everything, really, didn't he?
Yeah,
that stupid cow thing.
Yeah. Oh, man, that bit where they milk the cow.
Yeah, well, if you've seen it, you'll understand the reference.
Yeah, he was good. He was good.
Yeah, he was good. He was very good as a leader, I thought. Mm. But the whole way through, he just reminded me of Zac Efron, and I couldn't stop thinking about... Yeah.
I never usually that into the kind of the normal characters. I like the kind of oddball ones.
Yeah.
And there were quite a few of those.
Yeah. So we had Naomi Scott as Kimberly, the Pink Ranger.
Yes.
So she was, again, very much like Jason, sort of the popular kind of kid. She kind of made a mistake and she was a bit of a bitch, but then she realised and she kind of cut hair off and she was like, okay, I'm done with this now, sort of thing.
So I'm done with this pretense. I'm gonna just do what I want to do now, which is cool. I think that's a good message.
Yeah. RJ Siler as Billy, we've previously said, possibly our favourite. He was just so likeable and so sweet. As you said, he brought everyone together because he was there like looking for some buried treasure or something.
Yeah.
And I think for me, there was a moment where we've previously said spoilers, so watch out. We thought he died.
Yes.
And I was actually choking up.
Yeah, it was really sad. I was wondering if they were going to go through with it.
Because
then I was thinking, it's bad that I was thinking this, but I knew we were going to do a review. So I was kind of thinking, okay, this is something that I have to remember to say in the review. You know, like, he was such a great character, and then to kill him off would be really harsh, but... Yeah.
But it would kind of make it worthwhile, because sometimes they like do throwaway sort of deaths, don't they? But
this
actually meant something.
It's true. And it did bring them together. And then I think they resolved it in a way that was not too just throwaway.
Yeah.
It felt like they resolved it in a nice way that kind of made sense. So as much as Power Rangers can make sense.
True.
So.
But yeah, I thought he was sort of the heart and soul of the group, really, wasn't it? So when we kind of thought he died, that was the big moment for me, like, oh. And it did bring them all together, and then they could sort of morph from then on. So it was a key pivotal scene, but a bit, you know, heart in your mouth sort of thing.
Yeah.
We had Ludi Lin as the Black Ranger. He was quite funny as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, I liked him. I always liked the Black Ranger. I don't know why.
Okay.
But, he was kind of a reckless character, wasn't he?
Yes,
he was a more reckless one, I guess, because he was like the first one to start jumping over things and like just testing out what he could do and kind of encouraging the others to do
that
the same.
Was a great scene as well, wasn't it? I love that scene
that
where they're all sort of discovering their powers, and then him and I think it was the Yellow Ranger, they just jumped, and then Betty was like, he was the last one, wasn't he? He was like, I can't do this. But yeah, his backstory was kind of interesting. So his mum was sort of ill and he kind of couldn't deal with it. So that's why he went off. And it was just kind of nice how they all sort of worked through their kind of problems together.
Yeah, I think so.
Then we had Becky G as the Trina Yellow Ranger.
Yes, I think she was really funny.
Yeah.
She's super funny. She had some of the best lines. I like the one was a peon's cut.
Yeah.
She was like... We found a spaceship or whatever.
Yeah, I think we're superheroes.
Yeah, I really liked her. She was funny.
Mm. So then we have the other sort of characters. We've got Elizabeth Banks as Rita Repulsa. She was amazing, actually.
Oh, she's great. Yeah,
she was terrifying.
Really convincing.
Yeah, I mean, there was an actual little kid in our screening, and I was like, is he okay? Because even I was a bit like, ooh.
Yeah, I love how they brought how she was a Green Ranger and she turned bad. That was really cool.
That was really interesting.
And how Zordon was the other member of her team that kind of felt the edge of her blade almost. I don't know what I'm trying to say. But yeah, she'd kind of screwed them over, hadn't she?
Yeah.
He was back to kind of fix things, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah, she was amazing. I think Elizabeth Banks was in Hunger Games and she was pretty funny there. And it was just kind of interesting to see a different side to her as well.
Yeah.
But she pulled it off so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bryan Cranston as Zordon.
I love Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
I love
Bryan. It was weird to see him kind of naked at the start. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, blue and pink naked. He was like an alien.
Mm.
I thought he was really great. I loved the big wall thing. I thought that was super
really
cool.
Good.
I loved
how
he sort of moved around the wall to talk to people.
Yeah, that was creepy. I would have been like, oh, okay, please move away.
It was very kind of, because he did it really fast.
Yeah.
Very much just straight in your face, kind of. He wasn't just friendly to them, you know. He was kind of like, well, who are you guys? You know?
He was a bit of a dick, actually, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he was just telling them what they needed to hear, kind of thing.
Well,
and kind of,
but then he did kind of hide
them.
That whole thing about they kind of had to power up so he could come back.
Right, yeah, 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 yeah.
But he didn't tell them. And then Jason kind of overheard, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was a bit like, But then again, he did kind of make up for it. He brought Billy back rather than himself back. So.
I think they convinced him in the end that they were worthy.
They were worthy of the Power Rangers.
The Power Rangers.
Mantle.
The power juice.
So Bill Hader is Alpha 5. What did you think of this guy?
I thought it was good. It was okay, yeah.
I liked his extendable arms. They were quite funny.
Yeah, it might have been a little bit too much. But
maybe a little bit. But it's Power Rangers. You can't really have
exactly.
too much of Power Rangers.
Right.
So moving on to cinematography and SFX, what were your thoughts?
I think it looked great. Definitely up there with like the Transformers movies and stuff like that, wasn't it? Really?
It was better than the Transformers movies because
you
could actually kind of make sense of what was going on.
Yeah, definitely well edited, just well produced. It looked good. I mean,
it did.
There was nothing wrong with it. You know, it was all good. It was all good quality.
Yeah,
it was good quality stuff.
What did you think of the costumes?
I think they were a bit over the top.
Right.
What do I mean? Kind of too frilly, almost.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Too much detail and stuff. Maybe it could have been kept a bit more subtle, but it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was sitting there thinking, what do I actually think of these costumes? And I did think of kind of Transformers because they were very shiny metallic, weren't
they?
Yeah,
yeah.
Whereas compared to like the original ones, they were like morph suits and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I liked the look of them, except for, you know, the helmet bit. They had like a black mouth.
Yeah,
they
just
looked kind of creepy. I don't know what
they
you
had
thought
that in the
about
originals,
that. Oh, did they?
I think so. It was just like a plastic bit that kind of
was
meant
a bit
to look like a mouth, but it's not.
It's just a bit creepy.
Yeah.
But I didn't really like them. The Zords, what did you think of those?
I liked the Zords, yeah, they were good.
They looked really good.
Yeah,
I liked how they had like quite a lot of character to them as well. And the T-Rex was amazing. And the Pterodactyl. And what did you think of when they kind of morphed together?
I thought that was great. And I loved
Megazord.
That was obviously the first time it had happened because previous Rita was like shocked by it, wasn't
she? Like really shocked, like, oh.
At first she was just like, oh, you brought out your toys.
Yeah.
You found your toys. Well done.
Well
and
done, little
like,
children.
Okay, you kill them. And
yeah.
they were like struggling. And then they came together as the thing. She was like, what? It was brilliant.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. It just gave, it just had that way of giving you that nostalgic
it
feeling.
Did,
and,
yeah.
And just like, yeah, it was great.
I loved how they were sort of experiencing it for the first time as well with you. Because obviously when they first, like, Megazorded up, they fell over straight away.
Yeah,
that was quite funny. And then Billy was like, what are you? I'm a leg. I'm a leg too. It was just really funny. And then he kind of came up with the whole, we're Megazord sort of thing. It was really nice. I really enjoyed that scene. What did you think of Goldar?
Yes.
Goldar.
Yeah, I really liked that they were in a gold mine and stuff. I liked that they brought gold mining into it.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
I like that they brought fishing into it. Do you know what I mean?
These are your possibly two favourite sort of TV shows.
I definitely feel like they were somewhat inspired visually by, like, Deadliest Catch and Gold Rush.
Okay.
But, yeah, I like that. It brought kind of reality into it in a way that was kind of cool. Goldar, yeah, I like the idea of Goldar. I like that he was built up as a giant beast. He didn't start off like, because in the series he was the same size as Rhea Repulsa, wasn't he? And all the others. So, but in this, he started off as a giant beast thing. Mm-hmm. He never spoke or anything. It was kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah.
And because one of the things with the Power Rangers was they always started off small.
Yeah.
And then they'd just fight them one-on-one. Mm. And then the enemy would always get larger somehow. Yeah. They would get enlarged. And then they'd have to get into their Megazord to defeat it. And it was like, I don't buy this. Why does this always have to happen? Why can't you start off large? Well, apparently one of their rules is that you can never escalate a fight. So that kind of makes sense, I guess. Mm. But
what did you think of the effects, though? I think that was pretty cool, the way they kind of did it, with the gold stuff.
Yeah, it looked good. It looked good. And I liked the putties. I thought they looked fine.
The putties were good, actually. Yeah. So, soundtrack?
I thought the soundtrack was good. It was very kind of popular music.
Yeah, it was quite modern, wasn't it?
Yeah, very modern. Yeah. I mean, it sounded good. It sounded
I think the Kanye West song actually quite fitted the scene. Because I was like, oh, Kanye West, really? And then I was actually, no, that actually quite,
I think they chose the right songs. I mean, they had training montages and things like that, didn't they? It's just great. Just, I can't remember the music for that, but I feel like I enjoyed it.
As per usual. For me, as you said earlier, the whole Power Rangers theme tune, I was waiting for that to be in the film. And then when it came, it was after like 10 seconds. I was like, no, I want more, damn it.
It was definitely crowbarred in, but I really enjoyed it.
I think if they had done it in a more sort of modern sort of way, but then again, the theme tune's so iconic, you can't really mess with it,
I guess they would have had to slow it down and kind of play with it a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fine, leave it.
So moving on to sort of the Power Rangers history / Easter egg sort of thing. Mm. So how well do you think this kind of fitted into the whole lore of Power Rangers?
I don't really remember much about what happened. I know there was a Green Ranger and then there was a White Ranger, wasn't there?
Yeah.
But I feel like they did come later. So they weren't the original ones. So yeah, I guess it makes sense that they would start from here and then just follow it out as it happens.
I find it quite interesting that they actually kind of did the history of it.
Mm.
Because I don't know whether they sort of rewrote it, because obviously we had Rita and Zordon as actual Rangers.
Yeah. I don't know if that's been in comics or something like that, maybe, because I don't feel like it was ever in the show, but maybe there's been like comics that have gone into the backstory and stuff. Mm. Maybe they took it from there. Or maybe they just started again.
Maybe. It was nice that you got to. I feel like, it did actually make sense, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So we had the costumes. They were definitely more modern than the previous ones. The Zords were the same sort of animals, weren't they? But just kind of updated a little bit.
Yeah, with machine guns and stuff.
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
Good, I liked it.
Yeah, so I think it fitted quite well in the Power Rangers.
Sure, I think it was great. I was sold from right. the start, I was sold, so yes.
And apparently that in the works, there's like six like sequels apparently already
being planned. Yeah. Full movie.
So that's kind of interesting.
I'm into it.
So let's go on to the post-credits scene. So this was very interesting. So we didn't actually know there was one,
right?
Which was a bit disappointing because that would have been kind of cool. Yeah. But we actually found out what it was, and it was basically teasing Tommy.
Right. What happened again?
So they were in detention, and then the teacher was just kind of doing the register, and I think he called Tommy's name,
right.
And like on the chair was the, you know, the green jacket, but no one's sitting there. Cool. So it's like, oh, so Tommy's gonna kind of come into the next That's one. Cool. Yeah. So Tommy's possibly the most interesting character, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so he kind of came in as the Green Ranger, then got sort of mind controlled by Rita Repulsa and became like the first baddie ranger.
Right.
But then he became the White Ranger, and then he kind of became the leader of them all. So that's kind of cool.
Redeemed.
Yes. So, you excited?
I am. I really enjoyed this, and I'm looking forward to more. I think it could like just go downhill from here pretty easily. Right. But this one on its own, really enjoyed it. Looking forward to more. Yep. We'll see.
Okay. I've been reading a couple of reviews about this, and Total Film, they gave it 2 stars.
I think that's just like, you know, the standard reviewer with the bug up their ass about what constitutes good filmmaking, you know?
I suppose so.
But I think this was great filmmaking. I think it was shot well edited, well scripted. It was great. I don't see a problem.
What was so bad about it to give it 2 stars? I think this was definitely a film for the fans.
Yeah.
And if you're a critic, or if you're kind of a older person and you weren't around to appreciate it, I think it's definitely not one for you. So,
yeah, exactly,
but for the fans, it was fantastic. So for me, I'm going to give it a 2 big thumbs up.
Have to agree, 2 thumbs up from me. Loved it. Excited to actually watch it again, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would really recommend this film.
Definitely. So our book review for this week is Supernova's Jubilee, People in the Moon.
Mm.
A little bit different to what we usually do. We usually do a comic book before we do it. And rhyming novelette this week. So it's penned by Scott Allen Rowlett. So the description for this book is, Supernova's Jubilee is a series of rhyming novelettes for adults and sophisticated children. This first installment follows the purple race of people who reside inside the moon through the Cassini crater. They have colourful powers that shoot from their hands, and they visit Earth frequently to collect popular items for their money-making attraction, Museum Earth. After a purple visitor crashes on Earth, they're forced to give their power to an Earthling as a last resort to escape danger and be transported back to the moon. The now powerful Earthling accidentally disintegrates a young girl's parents, and it's up for her to find a way back in time to save them and stop those events from occurring.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's a really interesting story, isn't
it?
It's kind of cool. Rhyming novelette.
Yeah.
What did you think of the rhymes?
I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before.
No, I don't think I've read anything like this.
No, so definitely very, very unique.
Yeah.
I loved the whole rhyming-ness of it as well.
I did.
It was actually really funny in some places.
Yeah, for sure. I did find that sometimes I'd be reading and I'd have to go back and read it again because obviously with it being rhyming, it's not kind of, it's quite carefully constructing sentences.
Yeah.
That need to be kind of thought about a little bit in order to get the story. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I do really like the whole rhyming thing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It reminds me of, you know, Cards Against Humanity, when you have to do that haiku or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I really like the idea of it and everything. I like that they travel in copters.
Right.
I like that they're from the moon and they have power that shoots out of their hands.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of Supernova's Jubilee is pretty cool with the burst that happens.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like the whole idea of, like, Museum Earth because it reminds me of, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy with the Collector.
Yeah,
that's true. It's kind of that kind of vibe from it. So
yeah,
these kind of... The whole sort of history of the people in the moon, like... they're like a completely separate race, and plus they're working with like wizards as well.
Yes.
So that's kind of interesting because I think if I remember rightly, that the princess has gone missing as well.
Okay.
So you've got the king and the queen of these, this race, purple race of people. And yeah, the king and queen have gone to try and find the princess. So the wizards are now sort of ruling the whole moon. And it's kind of, that's kind of interesting as well.
Yeah. There's a bit of politics.
Yeah.
A bit of politics in there. Yeah.
Mm.
So there's two races on the moon. Yeah, it's interesting. And yeah, it's almost like they're collecting trophies from Earth.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like they're just watching and they're not allowed to let us know that they're there or something.
Yeah.
They're just kind of watching us and collecting things.
Like it's random kind of things. Yeah.
Phone booths.
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
So one of the characters from the moon, he's one of the people that collects things, like goes to and fro. He kind of accidentally has an accident with a motorbike person.
Yeah, he crash lands, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I can't remember why he crash lands, but he crash lands. Koi collector, right?
Yeah.
And, Dark and Day sees it. He's like a motorbike person and wants to help initially, but there's too much going on. There's flames or something, right? So he waits for the flames to die down and then just goes to steal his wallet.
Watch.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Watch. but then, Koi's still alive. But he knows he can't survive just staying there. He needs to get back to the moon. So he uses his power. And you have to do the Supernova Jubilee thing, right, to get back. And he has to transfer his power into Dark in order to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you've got a human with powers, which is another interesting aspect.
Yeah.
But this Koi collector, he seems like a very interesting character because he is addicted to junk food, if I remember rightly.
Okay.
There was something to do with a sausage hot dog stand or something.
Right.
Yeah. And the description of, like, their disguise for when they go on Earth sounds pretty funny because they put, like, makeup on, don't they?
Okay.
So So yeah, the story then progresses. Won't want to say too much to give it away, but there's sort of a showdown.
There's a showdown, things happen.
Yep.
And we end up on the moon.
Yes.
And yes, story is progressing. Mm. Definitely interested to see where it goes.
Yeah.
So should we give a little sample?
Sure.
So just to give you a sample of what it sounds like, because it is obviously a rhyming novelette. So here is a sample. Before us humans walked on Earth, up sprout a stouter race. Proud purple palette persons perched in nearby outer space. See hidden plain of sight quite like the little dipper spoon. Cannot believe we missed that there are people in the moon.
So a very interesting concept, because we are quite obsessed with like other races and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, with DreamWorks, they have got that boy on the moon, haven't they? So it's like, yeah,
it's got a sci-fi kind of fantasy aspect, yeah, which I really like. I'm definitely into that. So, yeah. So how would you rate it then?
I definitely want to see where it goes, because it's kind of a bit of a kind of cliffhanger. There's some like timey-wimey bits. I would definitely want to read the next one. So for me, very interested.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I really liked it. I enjoyed reading it. Mm-hmm. And I definitely want to see where it goes. So yeah, same. I would recommend it.
Mm-hmm. So where can people buy this book then, Chris?
So it can be found on the iBook store. And it's quite cheap, it's like 49 pence or something. So.
Okay. And we're getting the Supernovas Jubilee 2.
Yes.
Back to Museum, titled. Yeah. Back to Museum Earth. So that's going to be launched in May 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So, looking forward to that one.
Cool.
So thanks very much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to get in touch with us for any reason, so any recommendations, anything you want us to check out, how do you go about doing that then, Chris?
We can email us. We have hulkpod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook /wehaveahulkpod.
Yeah.
And we're on YouTube /wehaveahulk.
So what are we going to be doing next week then, Chris?
So there's a few movies coming out this week, aren't there?
There's been so many that I wouldn't see coming out on Friday. Yeah. Just try and squeeze them in, possibly this week.
Yeah. So we've got Ghost in the Shell, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that comes out this Thursday.
Right, Life?
Yes, that came out on Friday.
Okay, yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, that's the one with Ryan Gosling and Jake Gyllenhaal. It's kind of got like an alien vibe, hasn't it? Yeah. So it's like they're in space, but there's this thing that's going around killing them. Yeah, so I think I think it's one that you'd like sci-fi spacey kind of thing.
Yeah, we've also got Get Out.
Yes.
Which we haven't seen yet. So.
It's sort of a horror thriller sort of film, but I've heard so many good things about this.
Yeah. It definitely looks interesting to me. So, yes. For TV, we'll probably look at maybe do a Legion kind of series review, maybe. Yeah. Or Robot Wars?
Yeah, Robot Wars is back now in the UK, and we absolutely love the show. So,
although the actual episode is on tonight now while we're recording, so it will be quite a long time until.
We've got the last series winners, so Apollo are back this episode, so that could be very interesting.
That's true. Maybe we could redo that interview. And then for the interview, we've got David Mazou, who is Bruce Wayne in Gotham.
So, lots of things to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a production of the GWW Radio Network. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Also, check out Geeks Worldwide at thegww.com for all the latest news, reviews, and opinions on video games, comics, movies, TV, cosplay, and more. Geeks, assemble!